Do you control your thought life, or are your thoughts controlling your life? I can think back and look at certain times in my life where I wasn't thriving. I wasn't walking in truth. I wasn't having success. And my thought life sucked. And then I wondered, I was confused. I was like, what's going on? Why aren't great things happening in my life? Well, because my thoughts sucked. Welcome back to Be Fit with Brian Pruitt. I'm your host, Brian, and I got a great episode for you guys today. I'm excited. This podcast is going to be something I feel like I'll keep growing into. It's definitely putting myself out there with my thoughts first and foremost, but just with my ability to convey my thoughts clearly, to share what I'm thinking, and it's definitely a skill. So for anyone out there who's thinking about just getting out there more, putting their voice, their message out there, sharing their story, know that it never starts out easy. It never starts out easily where you just are flowing and you're like doing great right off the bat. Maybe for some people, but I know for sure it's not for me. But I really enjoy this because it's that muscle that you flex that you just kind of like say, hey, it's not going to be perfect, but I'm going to throw my stuff out there. And I think it is a skill that's got to be flexed. It's got to be flexed early, often. And the more you do it, the better you get at it. And that's so true of life in general, of fitness, of podcasting, of sharing your story, of meeting new people. I don't care what it is. If you flex that muscle, knowing it's not about being perfect and having everything all together, but just doing it often, I'm telling you, you get better and better at it. So I want to challenge you if you're listening. I want to challenge you with that. A couple real quick things before we get into chapter 2 of As a Man Thinketh, right? Part 2 of this podcast series, which I'm stoked to share with you guys my personal experience and my gems that I've pulled out of it. I want to share briefly just a couple things right off the bat. Number one, I have a podcast coming with my wife, Gigi. She's amazing. She's incredible in so many different ways, and she balances me out. Like, thank God I married her because she balances me out in so many different amazing ways. So I want to shout her out and say, you know, we're going to do a podcast together on marriage and just kind of introducing her to you all. I think that'll be really fun. Number two, I'm kind of trying to speak it into existence. I'm praying about this. I've been praying about it and planting this seed for a while, but I have a good buddy across the street here. His name is Brian Roberts. And man, I tell you what, like he's a guy who he's like an older brother, but I'm telling you guys, like, I'm telling you what, he is the epitome of who I want to be and become as a father, as a man of God, and a leader of his marriage, right? Of his wife, his kids, and his local community. So I'm trying to get him on the podcast. He played baseball for the Orioles and the Yankees. He had a really successful Major League Baseball career. But I'm telling you guys, that's why I want him on this podcast so badly, because he's been my Paul. Like, he's been my mentor as a Christian, as a man of God, to grow into everything God has for me. He's pushed me and he's guided me and mentored me so significantly in the past year and a half. It's been insane. So, man, I tell you what, that's an encouragement to anybody out there who's thinking they can't be used by God. Like, I don't care who you are. You always have somebody looking up to you, and you can always find somebody to impact. And you don't have to wait. Again, you don't have to wait until you have it all together. In fact, we shouldn't, because the number one thing I think that holds myself back, or has in the past, is I don't put myself out there because I'm not perfect. Like when the enemy tries to remind me of my past, or the enemy tries to remind me of, hey man, like who are you to give advice, or who are you to put yourself out there and share something with the world, or just your inner circle, like the people around you, like who are you to do that? That's the enemy. Like, that is the enemy of everything God has for you. And with that being said, let's jump into As a Man Thinketh, part 2. This is chapter 2. And it's entitled The Effect of Thought on Circumstances. It goes on to say thought and character are one. So right off the bat, man, I feel like it's a call to action. It's a call to responsibility. And I'd be lying if I sat here and said I've always answered that call, Because I haven't. I mean, the reality is, man, I've failed in so many different ways in my short 28 years on this earth. I've not answered the call to responsibility, to action, to execution. And so that's why it's important for me to go through this and to try to internalize these truths and then show them and lead by example, because at a lot of points in my life, I did not do that. So number one, right off the bat, is extreme ownership. I talked a little bit about being an athlete, right? And I was a great athlete. I was a really athletic shortstop, second baseman. But in my college career, I didn't have what it takes between the ears. I didn't have the mindset, the mental capacity to reach the next level of my playing career. So I was limited in that sense. And I think a lot of people are limited, just like I was, in their day-to-day or their business or their relationships, because we're not taking ownership. We're not taking responsibility of our thoughts. The second idea is that thought and character are one. For me in my life, man, there's so many times I look back where I didn't really think about the importance of my thoughts. Because growing up and when I was younger, I was always thinking, well, my thoughts are one thing. You know, I can think a certain way. I can even do things, you know, behind closed doors or do things behind the scenes. And as long as people don't see them or my thoughts don't, you know, come to fruition and make themselves known and apparent to people, it's all good. I used to think it was all good unless it gets to a point where it's super bad and it manifests in some physical or observable way in my life. But that's not the case. As we read this book, as I read scripture even, the idea of that thought and character are one cannot be avoided. Proverbs 4:23 says that above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. That's a passage that wakes me up to the idea of, look, just because you're not actively doing something, if you're thinking about something, if you have negative thoughts, if you have thoughts that don't align with your habits and your goals, it's essentially only a matter of time before those thoughts manifest themselves in a very real and physical way in your life by decisions, habits, behaviors, and then last of all, your character. Another verse that jumps out to me in this chapter that aligns with this chapter is Jesus in Matthew 12:35. He says, "A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him." So basically, look, you have fruit that comes from your thoughts, and your thoughts will manifest themselves in your life in some way, and it's only a matter of time. So the good man or woman brings out good things that they've stored in their hearts. They're digesting, right? I talk a lot about, look, it's not just what we eat. We are what we digest. And that means the news. That means the articles we read, the stuff we surf on the internet, the conversations we have. Like I know from firsthand experience, man, when I wasn't doing the things I should be doing, or I was doing the stuff that I shouldn't be doing, or I wasn't doing the stuff I should have been doing, right? So my decisions weren't aligned with my values, my core beliefs, my goals, but so there was a disconnect, right? And then I was surprised, or I was confused when I wouldn't have good things manifesting in my life. I was surprised when, you know, I wasn't pure in my thoughts and in line walking in truth. I was surprised when my relationships were broken and my relationship with my wife. Anytime, like I know that for a fact, anytime my thought life or my actions, if I'm doing things I shouldn't be doing, if I'm doing that, I look at my wife and our relationship and I shouldn't be surprised if it's not great or if it's broken in some way. There's got to be a part of it that has to be fixed. And it goes back to me. It goes back to my thoughts. It goes back to my thought life and my decision-making behind the scenes. When nobody's looking and when nobody can keep me accountable, that is what matters, because eventually, like Matthew 12:35, eventually Jesus says, man, I don't care if you think so or not, the good or evil that you store up in your heart will bleed into other areas of your life. So that's a religious spin on it. That's a spiritual, and it's a spiritual spin on that idea of thought and circumstance. But it goes into every single, this is so on point for any area of your life. The number one question that I get from this chapter is, do you control your thought life, or are your thoughts controlling your life? That's a powerful question, because I feel like, again, in my life, I can think back and look at certain times in my life where I wasn't thriving. I wasn't walking in truth. I wasn't having success. And my thought life sucked. And then I wondered, I was confused. I was like, what's going on? Why aren't great things happening in my life? Well, because my thoughts sucked. The stuff I was allowing into my heart was not great. So I didn't bear great fruit. I didn't have great results because I had average or reactive or below average or below the line type of thoughts. I love this analogy. It goes into in the book, it goes into the fact that your mind is a garden and you are the gardener. So you and I are the gardeners of our own garden, right? Our minds are the garden, and nobody else can cultivate your garden for you. So again, boom, that's the responsibility. We each have the responsibility to be the gardener of our lives. So the one thing about gardens we know to be true is two things. It can either be cultivated and put into order and bear good fruit, or it can be neglected. And we can allow the weeds to grow and it can be messy and just chaos. But either way, gardens do what gardens always do. They bring forth. So we can complain that that's not fair, but it is what it is. I mean, I can complain. I can think back in my life and complain about the situations and the circumstances I was in. But man, I wasn't taking care of my garden. I was letting weeds grow and bring forth, thinking it wouldn't really mess with the fruit. It wouldn't really actually make a difference. What's one weed or two weeds going to do? It's all good. But then I go back to it and man, it's like, if you let the weeds grow, they become stronger and they become more entrenched in your garden and it becomes harder to pull that weed out. But if you can cultivate a garden of excellence and purpose, you can withstand droughts, natural disasters, or anything that comes your way. So the weeds in your life are directly correlated to your thought life. The book goes into the idea of people are anxious to improve their circumstances, but they're much less willing to improve themselves. So again, I think back to my life and the circumstances I found myself in, and I was frustrated by the circumstance. So I want to change the circumstance. But all the while, the answer is back to my thought, back to my mindset, back to the seeds that I've planted in my life that produce the fruit that I don't want. So if I don't want certain fruit in my life, then I have to be willing to go back into my thoughts and look at those seeds, right? And then pull the weeds early before they get strong and big. Pull the weeds early, because I know, I mean, how many of us know the weeds that grow and grow, and the longer we wait, the harder it is to pull those weeds out. So this is an ongoing process too. I don't want to make it seem like I have it all figured out, because again, the idea, going back to the mind is a garden example, is if you've ever been weed pulling, you know the best way or the best time to pick a weed is when it first starts growing. When you first can see it, pick that weed, because it just comes out super easily. It's almost like nothing, right? But having said that, once you pull that weed, you feel good about it. If you wait 2, 3, 4 weeks and you come back to that same spot, you better believe that weed is back, right? Or another weed is in its place. So it's not a one and done sort of thing. This is why we should always have the sense of urgency to really take captive every thought, to really know our thoughts are so important. Our mindset, what we intake, what we digest is absolutely paramount to the quality of our lives. I always talk about the news. I always talk about certain things that we let in our minds, but that is so true. The best thing I did was turn the news off in 2020. The best thing I did was stop the negative conversations or the negative people in my life that would just come to me with problems, or they're always talking about problems and then they never talk about solutions. Nobody wants to be around those people. For good reason, because if you listen to those conversations enough, or the news, the fear-mongering enough, you become cynical and you become negative and you become afraid of living straight up. Like you're not even yourself anymore. And you're certainly not the person that God wants you to be. So learn from me. I mean, if you don't like what you're seeing, you don't like the circumstances you're in, first off, I know exactly how you feel. So you're not alone. Absolutely. Like, know that. But also know you're not going to be able to change your circumstances until you go back in and you look at the seeds in your life. And those seeds are your thoughts. So our thoughts and our circumstances are so directly correlated. It's wild. It's mind-blowing. So as we wrap up, I think a couple of laws of nature, it's important to go over these. And they seem obvious, but I want to share them. Good thoughts and actions can never produce bad results. And on the other hand, bad thoughts and actions can never produce good results. So this is the same thing that the author James Allen goes into saying. This is the same thing as saying, look, corn can only come from corn. Apples only from apple trees. A good tree can't bear bad fruit. And a bad tree, on the other hand, can't bear good fruit. So again, if we're frustrated, or if I think of times in my life where I'm just not happy, there's things I know I have to confront, but I'm not doing it, I can't be mad. I can't be frustrated with my circumstance that I find myself in. I have to go back and pull the weeds and then replant seeds that are going to help me and to empower me and to help me step into the life that I've created, that I was created to live. And as we wrap up chapter 2, the idea that he ends with is, a man only begins to be a man when he ceases to whine and complain. So he ceases to blame, complain, and defend. As my friend Tim Kite, my mentor, would say, BCD, blame, complain, and defend. Man, I used to do that so much. I used to always be looking to point the finger. And what I didn't realize was it was an excuse. It was my ego. It was giving myself an excuse for failure. And so I would point my finger at something or someone, and I would say, yeah, that's the reason. He's the reason why I'm in this situation. That's the reason I failed. That's the reason I wasn't successful. So all the while, it was distracting me and keeping me from taking ownership of my thoughts, taking ownership of where I was and my circumstances. So I'll end with this. One cannot directly choose their circumstances, but they can choose their thoughts, and so indirectly, yet surely, change their circumstances. So as I close this book and we come to an end of chapter 2, I want to ask you yourself, I want to ask myself, how's your garden look? You know, how's my garden look? If I don't like what I see, the circumstances I find myself in, I have to be willing to look at my garden, to go into the garden of my mind and pull the weeds that need to be pulled, whether it's jealousy, indifference, laziness, fear, cynicism. We've all felt these. I mean, I know I've felt every single one of those, but those will absolutely keep you from living your life that you were created to live. So pull those weeds, man. Pull them early, pull them often. And I want to encourage you by saying, look, you're the only one who can cultivate your garden. You are the director. You are the gardener of your life. So act like it. You know, you and me both, we have to act as if, because that's what shows what we believe in. If we don't believe we have autonomy and free will, then what's the point of all this? But we do have a decision to make. We do have the responsibility to take over our thoughts. So you're the only person that can cultivate your garden. So that should fire you up. That should get you excited to know, look, you can change your life if you change your thoughts. So I end with that challenge is, hey, let's pull those weeds. Let's plant those seeds. And then we shouldn't be surprised when we're becoming more of ourselves. When we take the weeds out of our lives that aren't supposed to be there, and we plant seeds that empower us and give us strength and make us bold and give us confidence. And if we keep doing that, the sky is the limit. I don't think you know how much you can do and how much you can be and accomplish when you really take ownership of your thoughts and you start pulling those weeds. So get that done. That's pretty much chapter 2 in a nutshell, guys. Chapter 3 is the effect of thought on health and the body. So your connection to, you know, our thoughts and how they're connected to our bodies and our health. So super interesting stuff. I can't wait to share that with you. But again, this has been a real fun thing for me to do. We have 6 parts to this series on As a Man Thinketh. So follow me along this journey. Get better. Let's pull those weeds. Let's get better together. And let's really take ownership of our thoughts. Because guess what? If you can change your thoughts, you can change your life. And that's the truth. All right, and that concludes chapter 2 of As a Man Thinketh, guys. So if you love this episode, rate it, review it, send me a message on Instagram or Facebook, wherever you are, and let me know, hey, you loved it, share it with a friend. But I really believe, man, this is going to be an exciting journey for myself, but for you as well. I can't wait to grow with you guys and keep leveling up in our fitness, in our mindsets, in our relationships, in our business, in every area of our lives. Be great, be intentional, take captive every single thought, and be fit. See you guys next time.